this computer's ancient. I don't know how well it's doing, but hopefully it's doing all right.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like it's working fine.
Cool.
So how are things in your neck of the woods?
I mean, they're okay. I'm gonna have to save you one.
Yes. Yeah. So down here in Texas, I was drinking, what was I drinking? I was drinking a Finn. And
they had it there?
No, I brought a cooler full of Ohio beer.
Yeah.
And so I'm sitting there drinking a Finn, and me and this dude from California are sitting there just BSing, you know, talking about beer. And he's like, I had that one Texas beer I was showing you, the Wichita Falls Brewing, the one that didn't have a label on the can. He's like, oh, what is that? And I was like, oh, it's from Wichita Falls. It's a sour. And he's like, oh, you like sours? I'm like, absolutely, man. That's all I drink anymore. Sours and gozas. He's like, oh my God, I can't find a good sour around here. So I ran to my room and I grabbed him a Finn because I had just drank my last Wichita Falls Brewing. What was it, like pineapple punch or something like that? I forget exactly what it was. I'll have to look it up.
Punk? Was that what it was?
Yeah. Let me look it up real quick. But we are recording right now. So I'm going to go ahead and welcome everybody to the show. I apologize that it has taken us a little bit to get up and going with figuring out Zoom and all of that, because we do have a little bit of distance between us. I'm doing some military training at the moment. So the beer I was talking about that I found down here is called Our Funkin' Pineapple Guava Sour.
It's
Oh, I know, right? It is done by Wichita Falls Brewing Company. They're out of Wichita Falls, Texas. And it's really good. When I went down to the brewery to buy it, I actually got to sit and talk to the brewmaster for a little bit, talking about gozas and all that. So
what about this guy that... So this guy that hasn't had too many experiences with sours or can't find them, he lives in that area?
Well, he can find them where he lives in California, but he's like me. He's down here for some training. And I made a raging sprint to the room when I heard this. And I had a bunch of fins and a couple of gadgets left in my refrigerator. I brought him down a Finn, and he tried it. He's like, oh my God, where can I get this?
That's awesome.
And I was like, well, they're a microbrewery. Well, would you call them a microbrewery?
I mean, they are. They are a microbrewery. It's just, yeah. I mean, they're getting
bigger.
They're getting bigger. That's it, man. I mean, there's nothing else really to say on that. They're getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Which is, you know, you talk about, yeah, it's a good thing that, good topic conversation. You talk about how the craft beer scene and people get upset. Like, say some small town brewery just gets so popular, they get bought up by a huge macro brewery, you know. Is that bad? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, but I don't know. It takes away from what they were originally. But everybody wants success, you know?
Yeah.
Everybody
and
wants that.
You know, what I see with that is, you know, you got the microbrewery, their hometown. They, you know, they do it a batch at a time. They're not looking for quantity, they're looking for quality. And then the only problem that I see is when, a macro brewery like Anheuser or Coors or someone comes in and picks up that micro brewery, they lose their identity. You know, they're not, their brewmaster's not, you know, they usually, when they take over this, these micro breweries, they tell the brewmaster, you know, you're pretty good at what you do, but, We'll just go ahead and take your recipe, and here's your severance package.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you'd have to find a way to not do that.
Yeah, if they could keep, you know, if they could buy out these little, well, not even buy out, I just, partnership with these microbreweries, and, you know, keep the little man going, but on a bigger scale. You know, because I mean, honestly, I'd love to be able to get some of that that coconut jelly donut down here, or you know, some other Urban Artifact stuff. Because there's only one microbrewery in my area here, and I mean, they're good. I love their stuff. I got to go back down here soon because I drank the entire six pack in two nights. But, yeah, so I'm drinking a gadget right now, and then next to it, awaiting to be opened, is it's a beer called True Love. It is a raspberry sour ale, and, it's made by Martin House Brewing Company down in Fort Worth, Texas. I've had a couple of these. They're pretty good. I mean, they're nowhere,
can you still hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. They're nowhere near as good as what I got from Wichita Falls Brewing Company. I like the little guys because not only do they look for quality over quantity, but their beers have, it's almost like they have soul. You know, you take a drink of it and you know, taking a drink that, a man you were talking to 20 minutes ago brewed this like and cared for it like it was his own child.
Right. To and put I, out I think to that's you. That's super important. I mean, that's, I don't know. Urban Artifact to me, from good old Cincinnati, It is the best brewery in Ohio, in my opinion.
Yeah.
When it comes to this type of beer, anyway, but drinking the centerpiece. Wee.
Yes, I will have to try some of those. And while I'm down here, I found you another pickle beer. I just got to get to the grocery store and grab it.
Yeah, it's funny. You showed me it. I actually have seen pictures of that beer before.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I would like to try it and see how it compares to the other one that I've had. So
Yeah, cool. Absolutely. So, yeah, I'm down here in Texas learning to work on airplanes. The boredom has definitely set in.
I mean, where are you like inhabiting right now? Where are you at?
I am
right where you're at right now.
I am in an Air Force lodging room. It's pretty much a hotel room. It's the room I'm in is actually two rooms put together. The airmen usually just get one room and they share a bathroom. But as an NCO, you get two rooms. One room's a bedroom. Another room, which I'm sitting in, is the living room. Nothing fancy, really. You know, there's no kitchenette, nothing like that. The only thing you can cook with, there's a microwave that's attached to a refrigerator. It's literally attached to it.
Really?
Yeah, I'll have to take a picture of it and show it to you, Nate. But I'll even take a picture of it and put it on the page so people can see what we're working with here.
Hey, what kind of manufacturer makes a refrigerator microwave combo?
Well, give me a second. I'll take a look at it. It is actually its own company. It is the only thing I can see on it is called Microfridge.
Microfridge.
And there is there's a microwave literally bolted to the top of this refrigerator. And it's a mini fridge. I mean, it's got just enough room that I can fit about half of the beer that I brought with me and still fit my food for the week. Yeah, I bought, let's see, I bought a George Foreman since I've been here. I bought a charcoal grill. But in my defense, the charcoal grill was only $7. So I got me a nice little grill to bring home.
Holy smokes. They have their own. It's just like their own little website. That's the only thing that they sell.
Yeah.
That is hilarious.
Yeah. Like, I looked at it and I was like, what the hell is that?
Order now.
But I will tell you. I don't know if the refrigerator pulls some voltage out of the microwave or what, or some wattage out of it. But if you're going to use it, you got to do extra time. I don't think I've ever, I don't think I've put anything in that microwave that I haven't had to hit it a second time.
Oh, dang. They are like a, very, you have to be in a certain state, not all states.
Hmm.
And then it has to be, like, mostly universities.
Yeah, I mean, schooling. Yeah, because, I mean, they've got the government contract.
That's crazy.
And then, you know, all that stuff. But, I mean, yeah, I could see how it would be perfect for a dorm room.
You rent them. You can't buy them.
Oh, wow.
$200 a year.
I don't know that I'd buy one for $200, let alone rent one for $200.
That's how these businesses make money, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how they make that money.
I couldn't imagine what some of these microwaves have seen, because, you know, this base that I'm on, it's not only Air Force. There's Marines, there's Navy, there's Army, and then there's also, foreign militaries that come through here.
All kinds of fun.
Oh yeah, I'm betting they've seen frogs and all kinds of stuff from the Army and the Marines. Those guys are known to do some crazy stuff.
What's a frog?
A frog, a ribbit.
Oh, like a real frog?
Yeah.
They're talking about like some type of that was a code name for some type of
military. I'm talking like literal bumps its ass when it jumps frog.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, just down here in sunny Texas, going to school, working out, well, running and walking.
Yeah.
Doing some fishing. Wasting a whole lot of gas. You saw my fish that I caught. I'll post that to the page too, because that's definitely humor. But yeah, this fish, he was so tiny. On a standard hula popper, he was only about a half inch to an inch longer than the hula popper. And he hit that thing so hard, I had to admire his tenacity. But I stayed out there for about another 40 minutes to an hour trying to find his mama, but she just didn't want to bite nothing. But I got a couple more lakes to hit up down here. I got to get my Texas fishing license. The one where I caught the baby was, that was on base, so I didn't need a fishing license there, but we'll see, man.
So what's your schedule look like?
I'm going to school 5 days a week, like 7 a.m. to about 4, and it's mainly been death by PowerPoint. So far, I think we get some more hands-on starting next week.
Cool.
But yeah, just gotta do that walk, crawl, run phase and learning all types of forms and documentation and all kinds of stuff, because you know those big iron birds that fly around, you gotta document everything.
For sure, yeah.
So you change out a screw, it's got a part number, and it's got to be documented that screw was changed.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It was changed. What time?
Yeah.
All that fun stuff.
What time? Who changed it? Why it was changed? What manual told you how to change it?
Wow.
Part number for the screw has to go into the documentation. And then, if it was a critical part, critical screw that needed to be changed, then you've got to have a supervisor come out and inspect the repair and sign off on it.
I mean, I understand reasons why. I mean, it reminds me, I watched, it's been a few years ago. It was a movie about this dude. He was just a regular commercial airliner pilot. There was an issue with the plane. He ended up like flying it upside down.
Oh yeah, yeah. I know which one you're talking about. It's got Denzel on it.
It's not with Tom Hanks. It's not with Tom Hanks. It's a different one because this guy, the pilot, who is the actor?
It's Denzel Washington.
Denzel Washington. That's right. But come to find out, he was intoxicated all the time while he's flying the plane. But I remember when they were going through like the I guess the forensics side of things, trying mapping everything out. They tore the plane completely apart, and down to every piece, to figure out. And so I understand completely why it's important to know when and where when something was changed, not changed, why it was. Yep. So
yep,
that's some pretty cool real life stuff.
Yeah. And the flight data recorders, if there's power to the airplane, they're going. Yeah, I mean, anytime something happens, we actually listened to something yesterday where somebody, personnel got injured on, or well, actually didn't just get injured. They got killed on the ground, doing something the way it wasn't supposed to be done. They tried to take a shortcut and they got squished, by one of the control surfaces on the aircraft. But you can hear in the cockpit data recorder the people in the cockpit talking and like, oh, we know this isn't the way it's or one person's like, this isn't the way it's supposed to be done, and the other person's like, yeah, but this is the way we do it, it can be done, you just trust me. And then it all comes out where the person got killed over it. And it just, you gotta follow your manuals and stuff. They're written the way they are for a reason.
Absolutely.
But
I mean, there's the right way to do it. When it comes to safety,
yeah,
there's only one real way when it comes down to it. Like, because something like that happens, not only is your job obviously in jeopardy, but killing people. You get different type of charges and end up in jail for something like that.
Oh yeah. And I've always made the joke, safety is no accident, but it's true.
That's right.
You gotta be safe, especially when you're working with things that can kill you. You just gotta know your surroundings and know your equipment, know the limitations of everything, and be ready to roll with it. So, how's things going on your end?
Yeah, I mean, mine's boring in comparison to yours.
Mine's, dude.
I've just been working. Mine's been working a lot.
Mine is so boring. I sit in front of a computer. Well, I sit in a classroom with a screen in it and listen to lectures all day. So, yeah, I mean, there's
something
no.
Something different in your life.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely different than being under a welding hood, I'll tell you that.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I finally broke down and bought myself a DeWalt planer to plane wood. So, and then a miter saw. I did those purchases about a week ago or so. So I can finally start building real things, So I got, because I have a good old list from the wife now to get some desk built, and I want to see how that goes. But the first thing I do is build a table to put my new toys onto. that's the first thing I
got
to do.
When I got my miter saw, that was the first thing I did. I I built my miter saw table with my miter saw.
Because right now I'm using a junk old Wayfair branded table. It's a piece of junk.
You didn't pay $2,000 for that Wayfair table, did you?
I don't think so. My wife bought it, but I think it was less than $200. But it's a piece of trash. I don't recommend anyone buy anything off of that company, just for quality alone. But then all their other fun, what was it? They were doing like sex trafficking stuff, supposedly. I don't know. I cannot confirm that.
So. Yeah. I mean, there's been no confirmations of it, but this day and age, you never know. I mean, things are going crazy. So, speaking of crazy things in this world, I just want to know who had twin hurricanes on the board for August.
Okay.
You know, there's been all kinds of stuff.
And my wife, not to be joking about hurricanes, but I guess one of them is named Marco.
Yeah.
Why didn't they name the other one Polo? Is what she asked.
I saw a meme about that the other day. It showed a picture of Marco out in the middle of the Gulf before it fizzled out and didn't make landfall. But it showed the major cities along the path that it could have hit, like along that Gulf area, and each city like Houston and New Orleans and Biloxi, Mississippi. They were all saying Polo.
Good jokes.
Yeah.
Until it's no longer a joke, I guess. But
yeah. Yeah, I'm just happy that one kind of fizzled out, because if Marco and Laura would have combined, it would have been just absolute devastation, which, I mean, we still could see absolute devastation along the Gulf Coast there, because Laura is strengthening to a Category 4 now.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, that's like
not good.
Off the coast right now, because right before I had to go up and buy some milk and stuff right before we got on here, and before I got out of the truck to come in, I was listening to a local radio station, and they said that the winds, like 70 miles outside of the eyewall, was 120 miles an hour right now.
Ooh-wee.
Yeah.
No thanks. No thanks.
Yeah. But.
Yeah, man. Not too much stuff's going on interesting with me. Not at all.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess I'm make you feel old. Today is Macaulay Culkin, the guy that played in Home Alone, the child. Guess how old he is today?
He's like 40, isn't he?
Yeah, he is 40.
Wow.
So if that makes you all feel old out there, it does to me.
Dude. So, speaking of feeling old, I got to talking to some of these kids. And I call them kids because they are in this class I'm going through. Because most of them, I am the oldest. I'm actually older than the instructor. and I'm the oldest one in the class. And, I mean, there's two guys that are close to our age. One's 27. One's like 34, 35. But, not talking, you know, we had to go around and introduce ourselves, and everybody had to say why they joined the military and all that. And I was like, yeah, I joined the military because of 9/11. And, you know, I'm sitting there and just BSing with one of the kids. And I'm like, so, where were you on 9/11? The kid looks at me and he's like, I wasn't born yet.
That's crazy.
And I just looked at him. I'm like, are you serious? He's like, yeah, I just turned 18.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, man.
Must be nice.
Yeah. Freaking.
Like, hey, man, never too late to start anything, dude.
No. Nope. Not at all. Just telling Kim the other night, one thing I wish I would have done is I wish I would have gotten my degree and gone and been a pilot for the military.
Yeah.
But I'm just a smidge too old, because by the time I would finish my degree, I would be almost 40, or I would be 40 unless I pretty much clept out of all my classes. But yeah, and I don't think they take pilots that old.
Yeah, I have no clue, man.
Yeah.
I really don't.
But, you know, I can work on them. I can ride on them from time to time. So, yeah.
It's all good, man.
Yeah, it definitely ain't bad. Lots of life experiences, lots of stories. Some stories that I can't tell because the statute of limitations is not up yet. But, you know, it's a wild ride.
Yeah, you look at kids, yeah, where they're like 19, 20 years old. I mean, the thing that, you know, you and I have is like we have experienced a decent amount of stuff, and they're kind of just jumping into something that you decided to do later in life. But
yeah,
I don't know, man, like, yeah, I always say, you know, when older you get, you've already made all your past like mistakes in life.
Yeah.
For the most part, you get smarter. The kids that are just now starting, this may not be something for them whatsoever, and who knows
what
their future is going to be, you know. So
yeah, and you know,
just interesting.
One thing that I've learned in my 36 years is to be old and wise, you must first be young and dumb.
Yeah, it's very true. It's very true.
These kids these days, you know, I think back to how I was when I was their age.
I was an idiot.
Oh, I was too. But like, some of the stuff that they do and say, and like in the military setting, you know, you just see how much the military has changed over the past 16 years.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah.
I mean, you know, when I was their age and actually on this same base going through my first bout of technical training, you know, we sat in the classroom. We didn't say a word. Dead silent. You know, yeah. Just waiting for the instructor. We weren't allowed to talk, you know, and if we did, we talk quietly, and sorry, been a long day, but we just, you know, we were very, very, I guess you say professional, you know, we tried to stay professional, and now, you know, I'm sitting there in the class today, just observing, and these kids are, I mean, it's like being in a middle school classroom. As soon as the teacher stops teaching, it just like erupts with all these conversations. And, you know, you've heard both of our kids on the iPods talking to each other. They like scream at each other, even though they're like right here.
Right beside.
Yeah, that's how these kids are. And it's, you know, even during class, there's one thing that you always find in a military setting is, well, in the tech school setting, is these kids, they'll find a girl. These young guys and young girls will find each other. And now they'll do what we call, they'll date, and we call it tech school love. And we've got one of those couples in our class. Well, the teacher will be sitting there talking, and they've made sure to sit next to each other. So the instructor will be going through class, and all of a sudden you'll just hear, and you look over, and it's those two just, like, talking and flirting back and forth with each other. And,
something like that, they gotta be paying attention to, you know?
So. Yeah. Well, and, I mean, I know the instructor. I know the instructor hears it, and I know he's probably gonna nip it in the bud here soon. Great instructor. Getting lots of knowledge from him. He's very knowledgeable on what he does. He's a former current C-130 crew chief. He's just in an instructor role for the next few years. But it's an experience. It definitely is. I think my next school is going to be the test of time, really, because that's really all hands-on, and really learning how the aircraft how my aircraft works, and how to take care of the aircraft, because, you know, the pilots, everybody thinks the airplane is owned by the pilot. No, they just borrow it. Crew chiefs own it. They're the one who... It comes down, we tuck it in, we feed it, and put it to bed. The instructors are kind of like the best friend that takes it out and gets it all wild and breaks stuff and brings it back to us to fix.
That's cool stuff, though. How long is this going to take you to get your certification or whatever you want to call it? I don't know what you call it.
All in all... With a couple of breaks, or well, one break, I'll be in schooling until November.
Okay.
Then I gotta go back to base, go back to Wright Pat, and I get to do a lot of on the job training, because most of the training that we get at these schools. Excuse me. Sorry, everybody. Nate's making me yawn. You'll see it in the video.
I have empathy. You yawn, I yawn.
Yeah. We're just trading yawns at this point. but most of the experience that we get in these schools is on the plane, the aircraft are inoperational. So you get to go out and, you know, like, turn the power on and kind of work them a little bit. But, like, you don't get the full experience. So, when you get back, it's kind of like when you go through any technical training, like, even on the outside. When you get done with school, you're not an expert by any means. You know just enough to be dangerous. That's when you go back to your work center and they teach you the good stuff, the big stuff. Here you really just learn how to work the forms and, you know, work a power cart and that kind of stuff, how to read the manuals. But yeah, been real interesting so far.
Awesome. Good stuff.
Yeah.
You want to take our first little break?
Yeah, we can do that. I'll just hit pause on both. Give me one second here. And we are back.
Hello.
Well, how are you? So, yeah, pretty much the downtime here, which, I mean, I'm only in class like 8 hours a day, so... There's a lot of downtime. Pretty much sit here and watch jets take off, which is pretty cool. They train fighter pilots here. So there's some little baby trainer planes out here that they go screaming off the runway with.
Did you see they launched the first trailer for the new Call of Duty?
Yes, I did, and I watched it, and the clip of the Russian guy speaking is actually a real clip. that was taken in 1984, and it's terrifying how real it is.
I thought the animation of Ronald Reagan was pretty tight too. That's funny.
Yeah.
They used him. But the multiplayer trailer is coming out September 9th, which that's the one I'm excited about. I really don't care about the campaign, to be brutally honest.
I mean, I love the campaign. That's like, it's my favorite part, and that's why I love Wildlands, because even when you're playing multiplayer, you're still working on the campaign. But the campaign in Wildlands and Breakpoint is so large that it takes you forever to beat the campaign. Whereas like Modern Warfare, I beat the campaign in like a couple of days.
Yeah, I mean, they're not too crazy expansive. I don't know. To me, you could leave that whole thing out, and I know they've done that in a couple of Call of Duties.
Yeah.
I'm all about the multiplayer, but I haven't even played. I haven't played Warzone. I don't know. It could have been the last time that we played together.
Yeah, I haven't. I haven't played it in a while. I need to get.
A couple months, I feel.
I need to get back on it. We'll have to, maybe we can get something together with Josh this weekend, and or just you and I if Josh doesn't want to play. I'm going to try and send you that invite. There's an invite on Breakpoint where you can like download the demo, but you can play multiplayer without buying the game, and you can just play it with somebody who's playing. So you could check it out that way if you wanted to.
Well, I know PlayStation, there's a feature that not a lot of people know or use, but most games, not only can you just jump in and watch someone stream, but I don't know if my internet connection can even support it, but you can also, in most games, take over the controls on whoever you are watching if they allow you to. Like if there's somewhere like, I can't get past this part, you know, can you do it for me type deal, you know.
Really?
You can do that.
That's crazy.
But my internet, I don't think can support it. The last time I just tried to watch someone, it would not work. So, yeah. I'll be changing that soon though.
Yeah.
Very soon.
Yeah.
I want to get that Spectrum.
Yeah. See, I was told that the internet connection down here was horrible. But, you know, when you download your games instead of buying the disc, you know, you got to get online so the licensing works.
Right.
And I haven't had any issues. And actually, I did play one or two games of Warzone when I got down here, just like single player, and it wasn't hateful. I didn't really lag, nothing like that. I think it's probably about the same speed, if not a little bit better than when I got at the house.
No complaints then.
But then again, you know, we're all on that old phone line. Probably like at this point it's probably like bare copper wire running through the ground.
It's just not alive.
Yeah, but you know, maybe at some point somebody will decide to run fiber optics or freaking maybe Elon Musk's stuff will come out and blow everything else out of the water.
Yeah, faster than that, better life is really, talking about that, dude, homeschooling with my children, you know, has begun, so.
Yeah.
The need for internet has become an absolute necessity on a daily basis, which is cool, you know, it's fine. We've been through this before, but now that my children are older, you know, they're getting pretty self-sufficient. My son did really well on his, what you call them, the pre-test. He had the C, to see where he's at placement wise, and fortunately he has retained all of his prior knowledge base. He scored very, very well, so very excited about that. So good stuff.
Yeah. I'm interested to hear about when Addie starts her homeschooling. Our school district starts after Labor Day, so it'll be interesting to hear the experiences my wife has with the online schooling when it's actually structured.
I mean, it can't be that bad.
Yeah.
I think people are exaggerating this whole thing. I mean, shoot, my whole dream is for kids to always be home and homeschool. I mean,
yeah.
I think it's great. Just make it the absolute norm. I know there's going to be conversations that go back and forth on kids and their ability to socialize, but mm-hmm. man, as long as you're not a weirdo as a parent, usually other parents don't mind you, and your children will have friends typically, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, I've talked with my wife about it quite a few times. I would have loved to be able to homeschool my daughter from the get-go, because just the experiences of the schools in our area, like the bullying and the just the dialect of the school, if you would call it, or well, the disrepair of the school and like the stuff that goes on around the primary school there and
like sure.
on the outside, not within the school in general, but like the crime and stuff that's been around the school. It's kind of unnerving, you know, especially with everything going on.
All these issues that stem from public schooling every year, and every parent has concern every year, and it seems to get worse and worse because you have all these folks that want to repeat the same things that have occurred before when it comes to issues. There is a simple way to solve it.
Yeah.
Stop public schooling completely in a building. I mean, now we have learned through these times that it can be done.
Yeah.
Wow, we can do it. Technology is good enough where you can get your complete learning. I mean, I still remember, you know, when I was in school, I mean, especially high school, I really didn't learn a darn thing after I learned how to read, write, you know, learn a little bit of computer stuff and some of math. Now, in my honest opinion, I don't know if you really need too much more than that, because all I did in my high school years was go to sleep. I'd fall asleep in classes all the time. It's a time waster.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I think more schools should go the way of like the trade schools.
That's what they do, you know? I think Japan, China.
Yeah, there's a lot of schools out there. There's a lot of countries out there that, you know, a lot of emphasis is put on learning a trade, which it should be. You know, there's so many people out there who will go to the career centers, and they'll come out of the career center with a trade, and they're miles and miles ahead of kids who come out and go to college and, you know, party for 4 years and then end up a couple $100,000 in debt just because they went to school.
So, and, like, in China, so they choose whatever trade they're going to have is picked when they're like 5 or 6 years old. That's mm-hmm. just simply what it is. Yeah, you take your regular stuff to learn how to rewrite, do some math, but everything else is set up on that skill set. So, I don't know, say you're going to be a random thing. Like an engineer, you know, you're focusing. So, yeah, when you're like in the ages of like 13 to mm-hmm. 17, you are actually really, really, really getting into this field. And then not only do you not have, you already have the experience, but you understand how to actually do it. I think we're so backwards where we go through high school, you know, go through all these years up to high school, have fun, go to school. And you're right about the whole like debt thing. You get terribly, terribly in debt, and now you've got to go find the job that you went to school for, and hopefully someone will even hire you. That's a big problem.
Yeah,
there's a lot of problems with it, because a lot of kids are going to school for the same thing, and their ability to actually get a job gets harder and harder the more and more people that go into the same field, you know.
Oh yeah,
and it's very tough. So I think there should be, you know, a whole new structuring to this. You know, definitely for schooling, I'm a true believer. I don't think it should cost a dime. And the reason why I say that is because the same amount of people that went to school or don't go to school, I believe it's the same amount of people. You know, if it was free or not free, it's a choice on what you want to do. But don't have all these extra classes within college. Like, you're starting out, usually like your first year or two, you're just redoing half the stuff that you've already went through, potentially. And you're just paying a school to get a piece of paper and something to put on your resume.
Yep. And like, honestly, you know, I've taken some college classes. I've gone through trade school. To be honest, I think when you go for a college degree, and you need your classes all need to be structured around that degree. So, like, absolutely, if you're going to be an engineer, you should be taking, the only classes you should really have to take are like the certain maths that you're going to need to figure out your formulas for stuff. Then, you know, architecture, learning stuff like that, drafting, because as an engineer, you're going to have to draw up things. Maybe an art class, a very basic art class, because, you know, if you can't draw a straight line, you can't necessarily be an engineer that builds stuff. But, you know, like, for example, I was going to take a pilot's course to become a commercial pilot, or well, to get my commercial pilot's license and to get an instructor pilot certification. Well, to take this class, I was not only going to have to take pretty much every math on the book, I was going to have to take history classes not pertaining to aviation. I was going to have to take English classes. You know, honestly, to be a pilot and talk on the radio, you just need to have mastered the basic use of English, which we use talking every day.
Yeah, but beyond that, though, you just need real skills.
Yeah.
Like, especially like a trade, you just need to learn how to actually do what you're going to be doing as a job. Learning about other things in life, your history and cultures and all that kind of stuff, that's great, but I just think all that extra stuff is packed into, it's just a revenue.
It is. And, you know, the way I see it is, if you're, especially in our country, if you are wanting to go to college to learn something, to make a job out of it, you have core classes which revolve around your major. That's all you need to take. Yep. Now, if you want to take a history class, if you want to take a humanity, you know, stuff like that, by all means, do it. But it shouldn't have to count. You shouldn't have to take it for your degree.
Right.
Right. If I'm taking a course to learn to fly airplanes, I shouldn't have to be taking a modern art class, you know, because what does Salvador Dali have to do with the Wright brothers?
I mean, the only thing that I can say that someone would have like a rebuttal to, again, it just comes down to, well, you know, when you're learning about different things, it's opening up different things in your brain to be able to have a better understanding and capacity for things. You know, you're making your brain work, you know.
Yeah.
But not all people need that.
Yeah, you know? I mean, again, like,
the problem... With the trade, mm-hmm. learn how to do that trade.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's like, if we did like other countries do, where the universities are free, they're publicly funded, whatever, I don't think people should be able to get liberal arts degrees.
But what can you, where can you get a job for something like that in that field?
Yeah,
as a teacher? No.
Pretty much the only way, like, if you're doing like liberal arts, women's studies, men's studies. I mean, there's no men's studies out there, but like gender studies and stuff like that. There's really nothing out there. I mean,
the other side to that too. Say, no matter what your degree is in, say you have a degree in marine biology,
mm-hmm.
and you just go and get some other random job. I don't know. Say like at a factory as like a supervisor.
Yeah.
You will probably get that job over the person that doesn't have a college degree, no matter what that college degree was for.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It just comes down to like, yeah, I went and did it. You know, which people and to folks that look at that kind of stuff, they see that you have put in effort.
Mm-hmm.
You put in effort for going to school, getting it done, and that's what a lot of people look at. So that's one thing. But if you're going into that certain field, yeah, you wouldn't go get a factory job if you were a marine biologist. But but the problem is there probably isn't a job right now for someone that's mm-hmm. wants to become a marine biologist.
Oh yeah, I mean the only like the wife has always wanted to be a marine biologist. Speaking of marine biology, and I tell her, I'm like, you know what? Go ahead. You know, take your core classes online. Once we get to that point where you've got to start taking your classes in like Florida or wherever you would have to go to dive and start learning about stuff actually in the water, in the environment, we'll go wherever you need to go.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's back to these like political science majors, women's studies, gender studies, stuff like that, you know, I understand looking at resumes and stuff and seeing that somebody has a degree. Yeah, they put their mind to something and they accomplished it. But in the same matter, you put somebody who just came out of college here's another one. The easiest, like everybody I've talked to who's gone through college, that they say the easiest degree you can get is organizational leadership.
Yep.
So, really, what I look at when I see that, if I was looking at resumes and I had somebody who had an engineering degree, a marine biology degree, a organizational leadership degree, or somebody who's been out in a career, in a career, for the same amount of time as these people went to school, be honest, I'm gonna pick the guy who's been out, the guy or girl who's been out in a career, because the colleges, and I don't have any problem, anything against colleges. I think they're great. I don't think, you know, anything different about somebody who's went to college. But the problem is what you learn in college, unless you're going to a trade school or doing something with practical applications like marine biology or, you know, pilot or engineering, something like that, everything that you do in that school is not real world. It's all theoretical. But once you got that guy who's been in the career field for so long and they're just looking for, you know, the next rung on the ladder, That guy's got the experience and has been led by good leaders and bad leaders.
Yeah.
You know, you find that people, and I heard this the other day, you know, people don't quit jobs. They quit leaders. Or, well, not leaders, but they quit bosses.
Yep, that's very true.
And a lot of these bosses, I'll put it up there for the video, bosses, they are fresh out of college, zero actual work experience, and they come into the world thinking that because they have college, they're better than everybody else.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, they say they get said whatever job.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who's actually training them? The person underneath yeah. of them that probably doesn't have a degree that knows more than what that person does for that certain job, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
Just because you went to school for a degree doesn't mean that you know anything. And that is a problem, though, because then you have folks that get disgruntled.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, oh, they just hired in this young guy and he thinks he knows everything, but he don't know nothing. I'm the one that has to show him. You know, you get that type of mentality. And that is what's upsetting about it, man. Someone that has insane work experience
yeah.
could get overlooked, and that business is making the wrong decision, unfortunately, mm-hmm. in most of those situations. And
yeah, a lot of people see that money that somebody spent to go to college as, you know, oh, they're a go-getter. You know, they got this in college and they've got leadership experience where they're looking over the guy who's been, you know, working graveyard shift for the past 10 years, knows everybody in the plant already, is respected by everybody in the plant, and knows the job inside and out enough to train the people below them and not only will give respect to the people below them, but will has already earned the respect of the people that will be below them.
Oh, absolutely. And when it comes to direct and employee bases for people moving up in the company, that's where you need to go, man.
Yeah.
You hire an outsider, you're just always going to have someone that's going to be upset. And, you know, justifiably, really, mm-hmm. In my opinion.
Yeah.
It's not a good idea, you know.
Yeah, and, you know, one of the things that I've, the wife and I have spoke about a lot, you know, looking at how our children and the young adults are being educated. And, you know, if you look at a lot of this stuff, you know, they're not, and the schools, the public schools and the private schools and all that, prior to college, they're not teaching to learn anymore. They're teaching to the test.
Because, yeah, because that's mm-hmm. where the money comes into play.
Yeah, exactly. They're test scores.
Proficiency tests or whatever. Mm-hmm. If they score well overall, that's like more money coming in, like grant money, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
More money that's flooding into a school. And that's why you have a lot of public schools in inner cities that are doing terrible, and there's no money being funded to them because of that focus.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the kids are doing bad. Oh, the kids are doing bad because they're not being taught, and mm-hmm. now we have no money to teach the kids. It's a terrible cycle
yeah.
going down.
You know, if I could, like, if I could pull up a genie and be like, you know what, whatever you want, you got it, but you got one wish. I'd be like, you know what, do away with all the standardized testing and test these kids on their knowledge, not based on what these tests are going after. You know,
right.
This is what I told my wife. I said it's indoctrination, not education. Because all these kids are coming out of, I mean, even in our elementary schools, they're coming out of elementary schools with public or with political views. I mean, and it's not political views that they're being taught by their parents. It's teachers. I think, you know, my daughter's in third grade now. First and second grade. Well, no, first grade. She came home talking about politics. Second grade, she didn't. Kindergarten, she didn't. But first grade, she's like, politics. And I'm like, what? And it's like, you know, I don't know. I mean, I guess they get it from their friends. They get it from school. But, you know, everything is... I feel like I'm caught in a counterinsurgency loop where, you know, call me a conspiracy theorist, but the video I was talking about with the new Black Ops, the Russian guy, that's like that stuff is real.
Yeah, you know, really
that
happened.
That video is from 1984. And the gentleman in the video was a KGB defector who came to the United States, and he warned us, it's going to take a couple of decades, but if you don't jump on this now, this is going to happen. And, you know, looking at it now, I feel like it is, because we've got civil unrest. Half the country, well, not half the country, but a lot of the country's young people hate the government, but yet they also want the government to do everything for them and have complete power over them.
And until we have a socialist country, yep. And we're gonna have those viewpoints.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they want handouts completely without having to give any in return to yes. even earn that ability.
Yeah, and it's like...
Take care of me.
Exactly.
Mentality.
And, you know, a lot of people say this is the Generation Z or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Generation Z, it's Generation Me, because all I think about is me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Call it what it is, I mean... can blame any generation for whatever thing, but I just think now in this world that we live in, with social media being so high,
mm-hmm.
with getting a knowledge base from somewhere, a lot of it is insanely biased information.
Yep.
And people, once they get it, they like it, they go with it. It changes their views on things, and so they actually don't even understand how government works, or when I go to work and I pay my taxes and what that even means, and what securities I have because of that. So
mm-hmm.
I just think people take it for granted because they have this one person that's on Facebook that is denying something, or you're taking away my freedoms or my rights, and this should not be, and I should have this. People just fall for it, man.
Oh yeah,
like a telemarketer.
Yeah,
that's all this is. Which, you know, crazy enough, still to this day, I can't tell you one thing that has been taken away from me in my rights as a good old, you know, citizen of the great U.S. of A. You know.
Yeah. I mean, I think the only rights that we can even say that people have tried to take away, and little by little, the Supreme Court is going, you know, hey, get out of here with that stuff. That stuff's unconstitutional, which is states like California and New York and New Jersey that are trying to scale back the Second Amendment rights, which, like... The assault weapons ban, completely unconstitutional. The magazine bans, unconstitutional. And, like, a lot of people are like, you don't need 30 rounds to hunt with. It's like, well, the fact of the matter is, the Second Amendment's not there for hunters. Second Amendment is so that the government knows that the people, if they don't like something or they feel they're being wrong, they can rise up and take back what's theirs. You know? That, I mean...
But maybe you're a really, really poor shot and you need all those rounds.
Yeah, that too. Hey, you know what the Indian word for poor hunter is, right?
I thought you were going to say something like hunter and hunter-gatherer or something like that, but I don't know.
Vegetarian.
Same difference. I don't know. Talk about that. Like, how many rounds you should have with you. What if you're like, you've been in a tree stand and you're one of them go-hung dudes, not with the bow and arrow, but you got your rifle, and you've been up in your tree stand or something like that for, like, 3 or 4 days, and the only thing you've had is light, you need those rounds.
Yeah. Dude, I don't know. I don't know if I could sit in a tree stand for 3 or 4 days straight.
Well, at least be outside in the area for 3 or 4 days,
Yeah. It's wild. Just the way that the world has changed, even in our, 30 plus years, we have seen things that, in our younger years, even in our like teens and 20s, we sit there and we look at things and we're like, that'll never happen, and now we're in our mid 30s and we're like, oh shit, that's happening. I've never seen anything so divisive as what's going on right now. You've got the left telling people that, the right is wrong. You've got the far right saying the left is wrong. We just need to figure out how to come together, hear out each other's thoughts. And honestly, the best thing about the freedoms that we have is if the opinions differ, we can tell each other to go fly a kite and walk our separate directions.
It's good to have parties.
Yeah,
it is. But and the thing is, though, these parties should be working together.
Yes.
Not opposing every little thing. Not trying to ninja themselves into different little articles to be passed that maybe someone won't see it, and we're going to get it through.
Yeah.
Why can't it just be openly, publicly talked about within both parties instead of trying to put in these secret additions to something they're trying to pass?
Yeah, and that's another thing. You brought up a good point about the bills and stuff. Every bill that's passed has some little bit of fat in it that nobody knows about.
Yeah,
and it's buried so deep in like legal jargon that Joe Schmo that works down at the gas station doesn't know what it says, doesn't even care what it says, but it's going to affect his life.
Yeah, and that's what both parties do. We just don't see it. Me being a Republican side of things,
Between the two of us, we're both like we call ourselves Republicans, but we're more middle of the road. We're like centered. There's things on both sides that we can agree with.
I just think I don't know, man. Like, when it comes to, like, Trump was talking about the other day about potentially doing another stimulus, which is fine, whatever. Who knows? We might be too far out now where it's even a thing that anyone even cares about.
Yeah.
But they keep saying that they're trying, while doing this stimulus bill to pass, their Democrat side is trying to put in a thing within this package to make a vote anonymous this year. Like, to do an anonymous vote via the mail.
Mm-hmm.
Anonymous.
Yeah.
And, but why are they, the question is, you know, if that's something to talk about that. But why are you making it part of another thing that just needs to get done and needs to be pushed out to the American people if that one needs to be done?
Yeah.
And why throw in these other things where it just keeps getting rejected?
Yeah. And it, and the other thing about it is, you know, speaking of all the voting stuff, you notice the Postal Workers Union has endorsed Biden.
Mm-hmm.
That is one thing that I think the union that is part of a federal service that carries the ballots everywhere they go, I do not think that they should be allowed to endorse a presidential candidate.
No, it's ran, it's like, well, it's not ran by the government, the post office, but when it comes to money and you know, how, I don't know. I'm not sure all the ins and outs, but basically they can never go out of business, essentially, because they're protected. It's one of the only things that is protected by the government when it is. But yeah, if, well, my opinion about it, it should, USPS should be its own business. It should be a publicly traded IPO, is what it should be.
Yeah.
You know, in the beginning stages, it was protected by the government. This was a couple hundred years ago because they wanted to make sure the packages actually got sent to where they needed to be. For, like, military was one of the biggest purposes.
Yeah.
That's why it was made.
Mm-hmm. And I honestly, you know, the post office, it is a federal job. When you apply to the post office, you apply into the federal system. So it is a, it is almost like a branch, if you would, a branch of the military, where it's, you know, it's not militant. It is, it's a public service. Well, okay, more like the fire department, you know?
Okay.
It is a public service, almost like a public utility.
Yeah,
if you would.
Yeah, it's almost like utility. That's a better way of putting it.
Yeah.
I mean, I know a lot of folks work for a post office. It's a great job to have.
Yeah.
You got it. You're usually going to be a lifer there, which is not a bad thing. But yeah, I don't think something that is connected to the government should have anything to do with pushing a vote one way or the other. That's that's like insider trading with like, you know, the stock market, in a sense, you know, there could be a lot of, I mean, there's a lot of corrupt people everywhere, no matter where you're at, but I'm sure, oops, these ballots got lost somehow, and they find it 15 years later that it happened.
Oh, yeah.
Now it's too late.
Yeah. You know? It's way too late now. Sorry about your luck. Yeah. I honestly, I think that in-person voting is going to be the way to do it. If you notice, the CDC has been coming out with less and less regulations.
Oh, they're getting themselves prepared so we can get this to vote right.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
They dropped the 14-day quarantine between states.
Yep.
And they also dropped the 14-day quarantine of people entering from other countries.
And then they said it's no longer a recommendation if you are even close to somebody that has been tested positive that you, your own self, have to be in quarantine now.
Yeah.
It is no longer a recommendation.
Yep.
So, I mean, again, yeah, in the beginning stages, we didn't know how crazy this was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe because it was so controlled with these shutdowns and everything, maybe it's what did
save
a lot of this explosion, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But now that a lot more is known over time, yeah, it's just, guess what? It ended up being just another flu that mm-hmm. lasts a little bit longer than these other ones.
Yeah.
But who knows?
Yeah, and honestly, I mean, you know, I was talking to somebody the other day about swine flu. You know, you look at swine flu. Statistically, swine flu was much, much worse than COVID.
Oh, sure.
It killed a lot more people. Everybody was sick.
Yep.
There's multiple people that I know who had it.
Yeah.
But, you know, now then you've got COVID, which is way down. The numbers are, like, stupid low compared to swine flu.
But isn't it because we put in these safety tactics?
It's because of the controls we put in. But the problem is...
Or we don't know that. We don't know that, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, the other part of it is, if you look back... Swine flu, there wasn't a big freak out. There wasn't, you know, everybody, like the president at the time said this came from China. And, you know, the president now says this comes from China. And, oh my God, that's the most racist thing I've ever heard. I can't believe you said that. And, you know,
I don't know, man. It kind of gets you just thinking, like, was this all for some type of reason?
Mm-hmm.
The reason why it was thrown out so hard,
mm-hmm.
have such a paranoia about getting this and what ramifications it could happen, and we need to shut down everything. It could have just been, it could be another one of those fun.
Mm-hmm.
conspiracies.
Yeah, you know.
Never ever know.
And you've known me for long enough now that I love a good conspiracy.
Oh, sure.
And, you know, you look at it and it's like I see after November, I see this like just dust in the wind.
It's like, for sure.
It's like COVID. Once this is COVID? All
done, no matter who gets in office, even if Trump stays, it's going to be no longer a conversation, because the only reason why most people are talking about, especially with him every single day,
mm-hmm.
is to make sure that he's appeasing to the crowd.
Yes. And once
he gets that vote done again, I doubt he really talks about it anymore, because what's the matter?
Yeah.
What's the matter? It's going to go on no matter what.
And another thing that the left is loving about COVID is with Biden's advanced age, they are attempting to keep him from debating Trump. They are, there's one debate scheduled. I don't know what the date of it is, but there's one debate with Biden. They want to do three. Trump wants to do three. But the left and the debate convention or commission or whatever it is has denied it. So Uncle Sleepy Joe can't string a sentence together at a campaign rally, but how's he going to debate the president?
Well, see, that's what I think that they're scared about. I mean, here's the deal. I don't care about age. You're running for president. You're choosing to do this. You're
not
the nominee, for crying out loud. You don't have to be the best speaker in the world. There's been several presidents that have never really been great at speaking.
I mean, our president now.
I mean, but Trump, though, if he gets in a actual debate with, if it actually does go through, he's going to throw, not slander, but he's going to say something where Biden is probably going to, like, goof up on some words.
Yep.
And Trump will beat him down. He'll be like, how can you be president if you can't even string a sentence together, you know? Or, you know, it's going to be some crazy, crazy stuff, just like he did with Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
Saying,
If I were president, you'd be in jail.
Yeah, that's what happened. Yeah, but the way you do it, I mean, that's a nice strong arm move though that yeah. would work. They do need to see those two folks side by side, just because you are just a public figure that's on the top that relays the info to people. You may not be making all the decisions. Don't get me wrong. There's yeah. probably some decisions that you are making as a president. I'm not mm-hmm. going to deny that. You do have your place of power. But if you are struggling to keep your talk track, that's a problem. That's showing just signs of either not a good speaker, but I just think it's because he's getting old.
I mean, to be honest, I think Biden looks at himself, and I can almost guarantee he's got a touch of Alzheimer's or a touch of dementia just by watching him.
Yeah.
He looks at himself and goes, well, Reagan had Alzheimer's in office, but the thing is, Reagan was a powerful dude, and Reagan didn't take no shit.
Yeah, see, what's crazy, too, Trump is, in my opinion, is similar to what Reagan is.
Yes, he is our generation's Reagan. He was
a celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
He was a celebrity before presidency.
Yep.
Ronald Reagan was an actor.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole idea of getting the vote in for Reagan was to boost the economy.
Yeah.
And guess what? With Trump, it boosted the economy. Yeah, this whole coronavirus thing came back, but guess what? It's all coming back all over.
Oh yeah.
The dude, when he says breaking records, it's no joke. The S&P and the Dow, they're all reaching heights. I mean, little guys like us may not see any real stuff for that, yeah. but when it comes to the economy overall, things are doing well. I fear that if Biden gets the vote, all of that stuff will be stopped in his tracks.
Absolutely.
And it just will, because there's going to be other agendas now that people are worried about that they have to vote in. They need to continue. I think presidencies, as long as you don't have any health issues or whatever, mm-hmm. I think your term should be 8 years and just be done with it, because I think your first term, a lot of presidents don't get what they wanted to get done in the first
term. And then also some of the things within the first year is residuals from the previous president. And, you know, like you were saying with the stock market, I have an app that I use. I invest in Coinbase, which is cryptocurrency.
Yep.
When the polls come out and Biden is up, I can watch my Coinbase. I can watch it drop. I can watch it plummet.
Yeah, in real time.
But when the president comes out and starts talking about what he is going to do to fix the economy, it jumps. Like, it skyrockets.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I haven't put much money into Coinbase, but I have doubled my money already.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And I mean, it's great.
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't know. I just feel, I mean, people have a lot of talk. They want to talk trash about, you know, Trump. Listen, man, I don't really think it matters too much on who is president. But I think that Trump has done overall a pretty bang up job from who he is as a person. Mm-hmm. And who people know him as a person. Every single person that he's done a good deal with or he's done a terrible deal with, they all know him.
Yeah.
He looks like he's still safe and sound, and things are okay.
Yeah, and the thing with him is, you know, he campaigned on America First.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You know, you look at some of the trade deals he's done. He was one of the only presidents that I can remember that has stood up to China, brought manufacturing back to the United States,
which is the only thing that's important.
Yeah.
For the health and wealth of mm-hmm. our country.
And even though we're not seeing it at the gas pumps, he has made us self-sufficient for energy, natural gas, crude oil, gasoline, you know.
Can you really complain that gas prices are only $2 a gallon?
No, well,
for the longest time they were treading in the $4.
This is true. This is true.
I mean, and even if you put inflation
mm-hmm.
into that, I mean,
yeah.
the '90s was the last time that we saw gas at $1.
Yeah, exactly. Well, until Corona happened, hit.
It happened this year.
Mm-hmm.
I got gas for, I think, 98 cents a gallon one day.
Yeah.
I have a picture of it on my phone. So
I was mad when I saw it that low because I had just filled my truck up.
I did. So I'm a dude that goes down to the actual indicator on my vehicle that says, hey, you need to get gas.
Yeah. See, that's where I'm at right now. And, you know, I drive the Tahoe, which is a big blue school bus. But, like, I don't want to get gas right now because I'm like, well, let's see what the polls say tomorrow and we'll see what gas prices are, you know?
The thing is, my car can only fit, like, 12 gallons of gas.
Oh, mine holds 25 gallons.
Yeah.
But it's looking like we are right at... Oh gosh, we're in an hour and a half already, man.
Alright.
So
cut out the parts you need to cut out.
Yeah, I'll cut those out.
We can end it on a good note. I think
yeah.
we talked about some beer, talked about our home lives for a second, even
yeah.
though yours is more interesting.
Mine's nowhere near interesting right now.
A little bit of political agenda, which, you know, we'll stay clean.
Yeah.
Let's talk about basically the only thing that we've talked about is what's been in the news.
Yeah.
Which, if you feel it is bias,
mm-hmm.
That's your problem. I mean,
yeah.
every single news source is going to have some biasness to it. But
yeah, and you know, one thing I can say, these are just opinions. We're not throwing shade at anybody. We're just giving our personal opinions. This is not the official standing of either of our places of business. But,
I mean, listen, man, Biden is a great dude. This is what I will give props to both candidates at this moment. Then we'll leave it on this note. I could never see myself being in my 70s. And still trying to do, like, one of the most peak things that you can do in a career.
Yeah.
I want to be sitting out on a lawn chair somewhere and doing nothing. And these dudes are potentially having the most stress in their life that they would ever come into, you know?
See, you know, I can agree with the reaching for the stars type thing, but as a person, I could never endorse Biden. But that's
I'm not saying
yeah,
I'm going to endorse Biden. That's not what I mean.
Well, I'm saying, like, as a great dude, I can't say
no,
that
I
without
I'm
throwing
sure
up.
He's a great dude. That just means that you could probably have dinner with one night and you'd be like, oh yeah, he seems okay.
I don't know, the things I've heard, the things I've seen on TV,
but no one really brings that stuff up, so
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, so we'll go ahead and leave with that, and we'll keep pushing toward the next episode.
Yeah, I'm gonna be curious on how this sounds, because believe it or not, now I did my little impromptu little studio here with my headset and microphone. If it sounds pretty decent, who knows what the future is going to hold.
Yeah, I think I know from my end, coming through the speakers, it sounded pretty good. We'll see when I edit tomorrow. We'll see what it sounds like through the JBLs.
All right, guys, we're going to call it. Have a good night. We'll see you next time.
Take her easy. Have a good one.